In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, when we as Catholics are seeking our salvation, what we're seeking is safety. Salvation is just a fancy word for safety. And if we're looking for safety, that means that currently we are not safe. We haven't attained safety. You know, this is one of the major differences between us and Protestants in our belief. The Protestants believe that, once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you come up to the altar, what have you, then you are saved, no matter what. No matter what you do after that point, if at that moment you've accepted our Lord as your Savior, then it's done. You are saved. If you leave Christianity and become a Buddhist later on, doesn't matter. You're still saved. If you take up the practice of drugs, become suicidal, and take your own life, you're still saved. If you abandon your wife and your children and run off with another woman, you're still saved. Once saved, always saved, right? That's the Protestant belief. We as Catholics, we don't believe this. We don't believe this because we make a distinction between what's called justification and salvation. Justification is the moment when you transition from being in the state of sin to being in the state of grace. And when that happens, you become pleasing to God. You have the life of God in your soul. You become pleasing to God. You become worthy of heaven. But justification is not the same thing as salvation. When that happens, it doesn't mean you're saved. Because of the fact that that state in which you're in, of being pleasing to God, being worthy of heaven, can be lost. You can revert, you can go back to that former state where you were in sin by committing mortal sin. You can lose the grace of God. And it's for this reason that we are not safe. As long as we are alive in this life, we are not safe. We are not saved. We have not reached a state of safety where it's impossible for us to lose our soul. This is why we, with St. Paul, work out our salvation in fear and trembling. You know, he says that I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest I myself become a castaway. He's expressing this fact that he's worried that he's going to lose his soul unless he continually mortifies himself, because of this fact that as long as we are in this life, we have not attained salvation. And this is the first point that I want to make today. We are in danger of losing our souls as long as we are on this earth. It's just simply part of the nature of our human condition, our fickleness, our imperfection, our weakness. We can at one moment embrace God, be the friends of God, and the next moment we can abandon him and lose God. This can always happen. Either possibility is always open to us as human beings as long as we're on this life. So it's kind of similar to the danger of losing our physical life. You know, whenever we get in the car and we get out on the road, we're in danger. We're in some danger of getting into a wreck and perhaps losing our lives. And so when we get into the car, we're careful. I want to make sure I'm not under the influence of alcohol. I want to make sure I'm alert. I've had my coffee and I'm able to focus on the road and my driving, lest I get into a wreck and possibly lose my life. Similar with the spiritual life, our eternal life. And we are in danger of losing that eternal life. And so we take precautions in our life to maintain the friendship of God. That's the first point that I want to make today. And the second point is this. And it relates to this gospel on the Last Judgment, a point that our Lord makes. And that is that our danger of losing our soul in this life is greater to the degree that the times are more difficult. To the degree that the times are more wicked, it's more difficult for us to save our soul. There are certain times in the history of the man that have been easier to save our soul. Certain times it's been more difficult. And if iniquity abounds, it's more difficult. It's more dangerous. It's a more dangerous time with regards to our soul. Something we notice about our Lord's description of the end of the world is he says it's going to be difficult. It's going to be a really hard time. And because it's going to be a really hard time, more people are going to lose their souls. Just before this passage that we just read in the gospel, he says these words, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and will put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and will betray one another and will hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and will lead many astray. And because iniquity will abound, the charity of many will grow cold. But whoever perseveres to the end, he shall be saved." Notice carefully what he says. He says, because iniquity will abound, the charity of many will grow cold. The love of God, the love of neighbor will grow cold. People will lose the love of God. They will lose the love of neighbor. They will go away from their souls because of these difficulties. As human beings, we find it very difficult not to adapt to the environment in which we live, the world in which we live. And if there's iniquity everywhere, it's really a lot harder for us not to fall into that iniquity. So I don't know if we're in the end times. I don't know when the end of the world is going to be. Nobody knows when it's going to be. It could be tomorrow. It could be 1,000 years from now. Could be 10,000 years, don't know. What I do know and what we have to recognize is that there is a lot of iniquity in our world today, and that makes it more difficult for us to save our souls today. We have to react accordingly. There's a triple iniquity that we have to deal with today in our world that makes it harder for us to save our souls. First of all, the crisis in the church, where churchmen in the highest positions of the church are adulterating the doctrine of the church, betraying the teaching of Christ, adulterating the liturgy, and sometimes giving terrible scandal by their actions. Consider what it was like before the Second Vatican Council, under the pontificate of Pius XII, everybody's attending the TLM, everything seems stable and normal, more or less, in the church. I don't want to exaggerate. It wasn't perfect. But, you know, obviously, it was a much more stable time in the church before this crisis hit. And so much easier for people who were Catholics to know what they should do as Catholics and to make use of the resources that the church makes available in order to save their souls. And since all of these things have been introduced with the Second Vatican Council, and we have this crisis, millions of souls have been lost as a result. Millions of souls have not been able to take the means necessary anymore to save their own souls. Secondly, there's a crisis in society today. The Christian ideals that used to inform society are gone, and there is immorality on a huge scale today. Families are attacked, and our political institutions have been corrupted. And we find it hard to imagine a world where all of these immoral things were not approved and endorsed by society, where like birth control, abortion, divorce, homosexuality, adultery, drug use, and so on, where all these things were forbidden and not allowed. I mean, obviously, in that world, it was easier not to do those things. Fewer people did them because they were not allowed to do them. There were consequences if they did them. Whereas now we're saying to people, do whatever you want. You know, if you want to do these things, go ahead. We're not going to condemn you. We're going to approve you if that's your choice that you want to do. And of course, it's much easier for you to do good when your society, your laws are encouraging you to be a moral person, as opposed to the laws encouraging you to just do whatever you want, telling you that you're entitled to commit these sins and to behave that way. It's harder for you. Then it's on you. You have to say of yourself, you know, I refuse this. My society is telling me it's okay for me to do this, but I'm choosing not to do that because I'm a Catholic or whatever. Then the third iniquity we have to face today is the crisis of a new way of life that's been made possible through technologies. The way we live today is so different from the way people lived 100 years ago because of the technologies that have been developed in our time. Of course, technology is not an evil in itself, but it can be easily used for evil. And the more powerful technology becomes, the harder it is for human beings to use it for the good. So easy for us to get sucked into this temptation to use technology for the promotion of our own money-making enterprises or for the promotion of immorality, because immorality sells. We are all familiar with just how as soon as we get on to the internet or what have you, we're constantly bombarded with solicitations to our sensuality. So the human race, we're now living in a very different way from the rest of mankind and the whole history of mankind, because we have our smartphones, because we have our internet, because we have our rapid transportation, and so on. And there's a great temptation to become selfish, more superficial, more sensual. Charity has grown cold today because of technology. Charity has grown cold. So this is the situation in which we are in. Of course, God gives us the graces that we need in each time to save our soul. But what I'm trying to point out is that whether or not we're in the end times, it's more difficult for us to save our soul today than it has been in the past because of the situation in the church, because of the situation in society, and because of the way we live our lives today as modern 21st century peoples. And as such, if souls were not safe in the past, souls are even less safe today. We must not fall into this trap of thinking that I'm saved because I'm a traditional Catholic or everything's good. But rather we must recognize the situation of the world in which we live and take extra precautions. We're going to have to work harder than people have worked in the past if we're going to make it to our eternal salvation, if we're going to be ready on that day of judgment to receive the sentence of the judge and receive a good sentence. First of all, we have to frequent the sacraments. These are the ordinary means for our sanctification. We have to make devout confessions and devout holy communions. You've had Sunday Mass each Sunday now for a couple of years, which is a great assistance. Means more confessions as well. Make use of those resources. Also, of course, the devotion to Our Lady. You know, when children are afraid, when they're scared, when they know they're in danger, the first thing they do is they run to their mother. And there's the greater need for devotion to Our Lady than in times past because of this danger. We are in danger of losing our soul. We're in more danger of losing our soul. So we have to run to Our Lady as little children and ask her to protect us. We have to pray our rosary daily. How can we expect to we're going to be okay if we're not praying our rosary daily? It's all good. I'm going to make it. I've got this world that is pushing me so hard to lose my soul, but I'm going to be okay without the assistance of Our Lady. No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to work. We're living in an illusion if we think it's going to happen. And then also, we have to be savvy. We have to be able to have the capacity to make this reflection and say to ourselves, what is going to be necessary for me to save my soul? What is the kind of world that I live in? How am I going to deal with the situation, the crisis in the church? How am I going to deal with this crisis in society? How am I going to deal with the fact that these technologies have invaded my life? What do I need to do in order to save my soul? Also, knowledge of ourselves, of our own weakness. What is my particular predominant fault? What is going to make me crash and burn in the area of salvation? What is going to make me lose my soul? How do I protect myself against that? We have to think about these things. We have to be savvy. This is the knowledge that St. Paul, he asked so beautifully for the Colossians today. He says, "We've been praying for you unceasingly, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. May you walk worthily of God and please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God." Above all, we have to pray for the strength that we need to save our souls in these difficult times. It will be a wonderful thing. It will be a very beautiful thing if we receive that message, that sentence from our Lord, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And we will be able to say, it was really tough in my times to save my soul, but I made it. I made it. But we're going to have to be very strong. You're going to have to be very strong in this time. You're going to pray to God for that great strength where you are vigilant and you persevere from day to day in serving God. This is what our Lord tells us, that in those difficult times, it's those who persevere to the end who will be saved. The gift of final perseverance is a grace given to us by God that we have to pray for. That's the main thing that you want. That's the number one thing that you want in this life, the gift of final perseverance. If you have that, then all is well. If God gives you that gift, all is well. St. Paul's wish for the Colossians in today's epistle is the wish that I want to have for you. May you be completely strengthened through his glorious power, unto perfect patience and long-suffering, joyfully rendering thanks to God the Father, who has made us worthy to share the lot of the saints in light. If you have this strength, if you persevere in using these spiritual means, then yes, throughout the course of your life, one day you will be in that safety. You will attain safety. You will attain salvation and never have to worry again about being in danger of losing your soul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.